You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. And Kevin, lots to discuss. Man, it's been a crazy postseason when you look at goaltenders. You know, let's start with tonight, Dallas and Calgary. Obviously, it's been a low-scoring affair. Is it because of the goalies, or is it because there's just not that many quality chances in those series?
Little bit of both in that one. Jake Ottinger's been great, but the Calgary Flames have not generated a ton of offensive chances in there. So I'm not taking anything away from him. And then at the other end, Jacob Markstrom's actually been, you know, like save for save with Jake Ottinger. He's got a lower expected save percentage. Like, Calgary's actually giving up more chances in terms of quality looks than Dallas is. I mean, that, to me, that's one where the eye test matches what everyone's sort of experiencing and saying when they watch it, right? Like, that's not an entertaining series. It's a defense-first series. And when the chances are there as rare as they are, the goaltenders have been great. So you can sort of have both things be true, right? These are two teams playing defensive-first hockey. It's in the Stars' DNA. That's not the team they were consistently throughout the season, but they've been able to flip that switch, whereas the Flames have been that team all year. What's changed for them is they also scored like crazy at the other end, and that part's disappeared as the checking's gotten a lot tighter. And both goalies have been excellent. So the net result is just not a very, frankly, entertaining series so far. But one where, you know, I think a lot of people thought this was going to be easy for Calgary. And, you know, even though offense is still up in the playoffs around the league,
yeah,
Calgary is a team that was part of that trend in the regular season where it just hasn't continued. Like, they are struggling to generate what they typically do against a stingier Stars team, you know, a Stars team that's stingier than probably anything they saw on a regular basis during the regular season. So it's not pretty, but it's close, and that's what the Dallas Stars obviously want.
Yeah, 100%. There hasn't been a ton of quality chances for sure in that series. Now, the Rangers in Pittsburgh, there's been no shortage of chances in that one, Kevin. Now, the Penguins did chase Shesterkin out of the game in one game. You know, the overtime game, you know, you look at his save percentage in that game is great, but the other two maybe not so much. What are the Penguins doing to get to the likely Vezina Trophy winner?
Well, I mean, they're, you know, in terms of creating offense, they're. I mean, it's not bad. Like, they're sixth in the league, but it's not, like, I don't think they're doing a ton to get to him outside of that one game, right? And so I think that was just a fatigue game for him. And I think, again, as much as a lot of people are saying, hey, expected goals are up, and there is something to it, but a lot of people are like, hey, look at all these goals in the playoffs. The regular season trend is continuing. This is the new NHL, good for them because it's carrying over. You know, like, I don't think we're seeing as much 5-on-5 play. I think that's part of it. We're seeing penalties up again in the playoffs, and hey, that's a trend the NHL wants, but you know, I don't know that that's a sign that we have a ton more offense league-wide and this is forever and forever trend. And the reality is the goalies are still out of gas. Like, Igor Shesterkin managed to get a recharge heading into the playoffs, so I would argue that pretty much completely disappeared going through that three overtime game. And now a couple games later, he doesn't look as sharp. He doesn't look himself. I'd be curious to see what he has tonight. Because to be honest with you, like, yeah, Pittsburgh's generating a lot of chances. You know, especially in that one game, in the three overtime game, they obviously had a lot of not just quality looks, but just quantity of looks. But I don't know that they're doing anything different, Jason. Like, I don't think, like, when I look at the numbers, they're not overwhelming the New York Rangers offensively. The Rangers have kind of reverted to their early season form in terms of what they're giving up. But it's not, like, it's not wildly off the charts or off the scales. They're just having nights, like Game 3, where a lot of pucks are going in. And I still can't help but think that a lot of that is fatigue for the goaltenders. Like, you know, I talked about this, and I can't remember if we talked about it because I hadn't really... I think we talked last week before this all started, right? But like that three overtime game, I went back to notes and a conversation I had with J.S. Chiguer about, you know, what the five overtime game in 2003 did to him. Like, he literally hit a point in his career where, and he struggled with sweating and sort of staying hydrated, but he actually got to the point where in the playoffs, as soon as it got to overtime, they put in the IV in the first overtime, and he left it in his arm for subsequent periods. Just put some tape over it and go back out and play, so that when he got back in the second overtime, and in that case, the third and the fourth overtime intermissions, you could just plug that IV right in, and there was no delay having to reestablish the line. Like, that's kind of extreme, playing goal in the National Hockey League with an IV left in your arm. But those are the lengths goalies go to try and keep themselves fresh in that environment, because that's how much six straight periods of hockey under playoff intensity can wear you out. And so I'm not surprised that a couple games later we see, you know, a little bit of fatigue in Igor Shesterkin. And on the Penguins side, yeah, they don't have their guy in net anymore, but Louis Domingue doesn't have that fatigue. He may have had a full tummy from the pork and broccoli, but he doesn't have that same level of fatigue. And to some extent, not that it would ever be enough to overcome the gap in talent between a Louis Domingue and an Igor Shesterkin, but that's an advantage. To some extent, that tips the scales back a little bit the other way. And I think you saw some of that the other night.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, you look at the Oilers and the Kings series. You know, Mike Smith had one stick-handling gaffe, but other than that, he's got a .942 save percentage in the series. There's not really much to complain about at all in how he's played this postseason. And, you know, Jonathan Quick, the Oilers really got to him in games 2 and 3. And I know you mentioned you were a little surprised that maybe they didn't take him out in game 2 a little bit. They didn't get to him in game 4, but they didn't have as many quality chances. Or did you see any subtle changes in Quick's game in game 4?
No, I didn't see any. I mean, listen, I don't think at this point you're going to see changes in Jonathan Quick's game. I mean, you guys have seen it now for four games in a row. There's a lot of extra moving parts behind traffic, and I talked about this going into that first game, right? Like, if you want to get to Quick, the numbers say it's screens. Do you see how active he is to try and find pucks behind screens? And to a certain extent, Jason, there's always going to be an element of luck. Yeah, there's talent and there's determination to find pucks and battle through and around those screens. But when you're moving back and forth as much as he is, a lot of times, and I think we saw some examples even the other night, like there was one, it was late in the first period that hit on the blocker side and ended up hitting on, like bouncing across and then hitting his glove and bouncing in front of him, getting covered up. When you move as much behind screens as he moves behind screens, you are to a certain extent relying on pucks hitting you. Like, there's a lot of moving parts in his game, and so you're going to have more highs and lows, which is what we've seen in this series. You know, interestingly enough, last night, you know, the Kings didn't. They generated a lot of chances, but out of the 46 chances Clearside has them down for, 37 were low percentage. They only got four high-danger looks. They converted on two of them, and one was a medium-danger chance that went in. So you know, all four games, the Oilers have controlled the expected goals. Last night was a much smaller margin. But Jonathan Quick, despite some of the, and I wouldn't even call, I don't even mean those things to be critical. That's just the way he plays. He's still capable of those big moments and those big saves. I thought there was a look in the slot. I think it was late in the first period when he came way out to challenge. That could have been a momentum changing save. We obviously saw the sequence where he lost his glove, gets a piece of one and off the crossbar, then gets across to the blocker save. Like, he's still capable of, and they look so dynamic and so athletic and so explosive that they almost at times feel tougher than they are. And again, that can be a momentum changer when everybody feels like, oh my God, that was an unbelievable save. How are we going to score on this guy? It can take, it can change the energy in a game. It can change the energy in a building. But still, when I look at all four games, the Oilers have been the better team in terms of who should have scored more in all four. And I think most encouraging, we talked about Mike Smith's been really good. This is nothing, taking nothing away from him, but this is a real positive sign right now. And maybe this is to do with the opposition, because their opponent hasn't scored and hasn't generated offense all season at a high rate. But right now, when I look at those, you always hear me talking about sort of the high danger, even strength chances. The Edmonton Oilers right now are number one in the NHL playoffs in terms of the amount of those they're surrendering a game. Expected goals is just 1.25 on high danger chances through four games. And again, some of that is the Kings offense. But some of that, you know, I think that's a big step, even if it's against the Kings, for an Edmonton team that always, you know, hasn't always been, you know, anywhere near, frankly, the top of the league in that metric. For them to start this way in the playoffs is encouraging.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins. Kevin, Tampa and Toronto, it's been quite the series. And I look at Andre Vasilevsky's numbers in that series. Toronto, like, if you look at high danger chances, Toronto hasn't generated very many, but they've lit up Vasilevsky. They've scored 14 goals in four games. Like, Jack Campbell's at least had two solid games, and then he's had two disasters where he allowed 10 goals, you know, on 50 shots in two games and got pulled after the five goals on 16 shots. But Vasilevsky, like, his best game's been a 912 save percentage. He's allowed three goals every game, five in another one. What do you make of Vasilevsky? Do the numbers match what I'm seeing? Has he not really being, you know, the elite goalie that we expect?
No, he's negative. Like, out of the 26 goalies in the playoffs so far, his save percentage in terms of adjusted relative to environment is 22nd. He's minus 2.3%. Jack Campbell's minus 1%. Now, like you said, blowout games will do that to you. But neither one of these guys is stealing games. And I think, you know, everybody would have bet that the advantage was in the Tampa net going into this series. Now, two realities here. And one is encouraging for the Toronto Maple Leafs. One isn't. Andre has always been at his most, for lack of a better term, gettable early in the playoffs. I'm still convinced that if the Florida, and then there's numbers that sort of point to this, that if the Florida Panthers hadn't insanely turned last year's first round series into a power play contest rather than keeping it at even strength, that they had a really good chance of knocking off Tampa Bay in the first round. And if you look at the year before that, and even the year where they were swept by Columbus, like, he has sort of needed to ease his way into the playoffs, even when they're winning cups. Like, that's been his worst round, is the first round. The problem is, even within the context of the first round, he's typically gotten better as it's gone on. And so that should scare you as this series goes on if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, this version of Andre Vasilevsky most likely won't last forever. The one caveat is, his numbers have been down for a couple months, Jason. Like, the last couple months of the season, there was a lot of inconsistency in his results. There seemed to be a lot of inconsistency in his play. He looked more, like, again, to use that term, like, he looked more beatable. He looked more gettable during, you know, late in the season. And so, you know, you do wonder how much of this is a continuation of that trend of maybe struggling early in playoffs, and how much of it is just a continuation of the trend of, you know, not a great end to the regular season. At the end of the day, you know, he's been the best goalie in the world, arguably, for the last 3 years. So you don't expect it to continue. But you can't ignore that he hasn't even been close to that guy in these playoffs so far. And, you know, arguably, as much as Jack Campbell may only be one spot ahead of him out of those 26 goalies, he's 21st. At the very least, he's matched him in this series so far. I still, though, not sure I would bet a lot of money on that continuing as we get into 5, 6, and 7.
All right. Well, it's definitely something to watch for. Kev, as always, we appreciate the three finalists for the Vezina. Shesterkin, Saros, Markstrom, that's what my guess is for the top three. Is there anyone you think can slide in?
No, I mean, Kevin Weeks is already reporting it, that those will be the three, and there's not a lot of surprises to me in that one. The arguments that could have been made are only in the three spot. It's Shesterkin and Saros at the top. I could make a strong case, if they'd made the playoffs, for Ilya Sorokin before the last couple of games of the season, which he was playing through an injury. Thatcher Demko was in that conversation. Like, Markstrom is fifth in terms of goals saved above expected this year. There was a lot of, for all the shutouts, there was also a lot of nights where he was that much below standard. Like, there was more inconsistency in his game than we're used to seeing. But the reality is, they're all fighting for second and third anyways, and so I have no problem him being the guy. He arguably should have been a Vezina finalist 2 years ago when he was here in Vancouver, and so he's fully deserving of being in that three-hole this time.
Kev, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great week.
Thanks.